I'll tell you what you're going to do.
Edmund, you're
going to go downstairs and break off this preposterous engagement. Tomorrow we're going to London to buy a special license. In 3 days from now, we'll be married.
But Julia, Edmund, please let me go. You're
Julia
hurting me.
Julia is dead.
Dead?
Dead.
Denny. Denny!
Madeline.
Denny, please help!
Madeline, come
here. Help me! Go away! Go away!
Your mistress is hysterical. Fetch me some cold water.
Yes, sir, but you're wanted on the telephone, sir. Your housemaid. I'm afraid there's bad news, sir.
We present Episode 3 of Malice Aforethought by Francis Iles, dramatized in four parts by Philip Mackey and adapted for radio by Gordon Huss, with Paul Eddington as Dr. Bickley, Kim Braden as Madeline, Madeline Smith as Ivy, and Leslie Heritage as Chief Inspector Russell.
Letters for you, sir.
Thank you, Florence. What a lovely day.
Yes, it is, sir. Can I give you some more coffee?
Yes, please, Florence. Oh, just half a cup. I have to go over and see the Samford boy again.
Poor Mrs. Samford. She's that worried.
Curious case. Looks like some form of food poisoning. Dear Teddy.
I must see you. It's very urgent. Can you be at our old place Thursday at 3 o'clock without fail? Yours ever, Ivy.
Thank you, Florence. That'll be all.
Teddy.
Ivy, my dear girl.
Oh, no, Teddy, you mustn't. I'm married now. Please, let me go.
Ivy, dear girl.
Oh, Teddy, do you still love me? Really? Oh, say you do.
Yes, I still love you. Sit down on the grass, darling, like we used to.
Teddy.
What's the matter? Something wrong?
It's terrible, Teddy. Dreadful.
What is?
William, my husband, he's gone to London.
Not run away from you? Left you?
No. No. It's about you, Teddy.
Me?
He's gone to Scotland Yard.
Scotland Yard? Whatever for?
Because he hates you, Teddy. He hates you.
I've never done anything to him. Why should he hate me? Oh, my God, you didn't tell him about us.
I couldn't help it. He got it out of me. You don't know what he's like. I tried not to tell him. I swear I did. And he knew I hadn't been good. And you don't know what he's like.
All right, don't cry. He probably only said it to frighten you. Even if he does go to Scotland Yard, 2 minutes' conversation will clear the whole thing up.
But, Teddy, he suspects something horrible. About your wife's death.
What?
He thinks that Mrs. Bickley took the overdose of morphia deliberately. She was driven to it by your scandalous conduct with Madeline Cranmere.
He believes that Julia committed suicide?
Yes, and he wants to drag it all up so that you'll have to leave Wyvern's Cross.
He believes... Ivy, look, could you find out what happened at Scotland Yard and anything else like that?
I could try.
Probably easier if you tell your husband you hate me now, too. They're just as anxious as he is to see me driven out of Wyvern's Cross.
Oh, Teddy, it wouldn't be the truth.
How pretty you're looking these days, Ivy. Prettier than ever. Really lovely. You wouldn't mind telling a little lie for my sake, would you? A little white lie.
No, Teddy.
It's just like old times with you here again. Aren't you glad to be back?
Teddy. You know I am. But you mustn't. Not now I'm married. It isn't fair.
Oh,
oh Teddy. Don't. Oh, darling.
Kind of you to spare the time, Bickley.
He was my patient, after all.
These occasions are sad enough, but when it involves one so young...
19. Poor young Samford. He'd hardly begun to live.
and to be taken in such a way. I must confess I'd never even heard of... What was it again?
Botulism. Food contamination, normally. Caused chiefly by contaminated sausages.
Bless my soul.
First case that's come my way.
Let us hope it will be the last.
Yes, indeed.
Teddy.
Darling. Well, what news?
Ivy, darling, what's the matter?
He's packing me off to Spain at a moment's notice.
Spain?
He's got a married sister living there, and they wrote out of the blue, asking me to go and stay. And William insisted on it. Wouldn't take no for an answer.
He doesn't suspect anything.
About us? Oh, no, no, I'm sure of it. He's been very nice to me recently. But he said it was a chance of a lifetime. Will you miss me?
Damn the fellow, of course I will.
I'll miss you terribly. I'll write to you every day.
There.
He's seen Madeline Bourne, you know.
What?
You never told me you once actually asked Madeline to marry you.
Didn't I?
But you did ask her.
So she's blabbed that, has she? What else has she been telling our precious husband?
Well, she said...
Come on, then. I just want to hear it all.
She said she doesn't think it was suicide at all. She believes you killed Julia to marry her.
What?
Oh, Teddy, isn't that a horrible thing to say?
It was not, however, for some weeks after he had decided to murder Chatford and Madeline that Dr. Bickley took any active steps in the matter. Murder is a serious business. The slightest slip may be disastrous. Dr. Bickley had no intention of risking disaster.
Hello, Chatford. Sorry to bother you. Bickley, Wyvern's Cross. I was wondering if you could possibly spare an hour to drop by for a chat sometime. I have a slight problem of law, which I'd appreciate...
Sorry, Bickley, but I'm far too busy to take on extra work at this time.
Well, hardly extra. A small matter of some fishing rights, that's all.
Well, I could possibly manage next Wednesday afternoon, about 4, but on no account can I stay longer than half an hour.
My dear fellow, you won't need to.
Dr. Bickley to see you, ma'am.
Dr.
Mrs. Bourne! How are you? Aunt Denny, I find you both well, I trust.
Well enough.
Dr. Bickley, what a very pleasant surprise. Do sit down and have some tea with us.
That's very kind of you.
Not at all. I was saying to Denny only the other day, wasn't I, darling? I wonder why Dr. Bickley never comes and sees us. And he used to be such a constant visitor, one might almost say perpetual. It must be a year now.
Is it so long?
Yes.
Our time flies. I didn't realize you'd been married a whole year.
Yes, we have, haven't we, darling?
Yes.
And, of course, you have been a widower for a year.
I'm sorry to say.
Tell me, what have you been doing with yourself?
Thinking. Regretting a number of things I did a year or so ago. Feeling remorse for them. Hoping I might find forgiveness. That the hatchet might now be considered buried.
Oh, one never bears a grudge for old injuries, does one, darling?
What old injuries?
That's the point. It doesn't matter what.
Doesn't it?
Not if one has the nobility of soul to rise above such questions.
I hoped you'd say that, Madeline. You have a noble, a truly great soul.
Do you take sugar, Edmund?
2 lumps, please.
There you are.
Thank you, Madeline. What would please me most of all...
Oh, tell us what.
As a real sign of your forgiveness.
Whatever you say, Edmund.
Would be if you would come to have tea with me one day.
Well, of course. That would be a great pleasure, wouldn't it, darling?
Say next Wednesday?
Wednesday? Wednesday would be perfect. Wouldn't it, darling?
If you say so.
Splendid. Splendid.
Such a way. I must confess I'd never even heard of it. What was it again?
Botulism. Food contamination, normally.
Good afternoon, sir.
Oh, Mrs. Hall.
Feeling hungry, sir?
Sorry, I was miles away. Are those the things for tea?
Yes, that's right, sir. I'll get Florence to bring them up to the drawing room at 4 o'clock sharp.
No, I don't want you to do that. My visitors may be late, and it's such a hot day, I don't want the food to spoil by standing in the drawing room. It might.
Yes, I suppose it might, sir.
No, tell Florence not to bring anything until the visitors actually come. Then, as quickly as she can.
Right you are, sir.
Potted meat sandwiches, eh?
That's right, sir.
Very tasty, Mrs. Holm. Very tasty, indeed. Even when laced with my specially prepared Bacillus botulinus. Hello, welcome. Do come in. You know each other, of course. How nice that you all arrived together.
Actually, we met driving in.
Very nearly met head on if I hadn't been such a good driver.
Oh, it wasn't as bad as that.
We missed death by a whisker.
Well, you'd have been very handy for the doctor. Do come in. What a lovely day it is.
You have company. Perhaps
no,
I
no,
should
No, 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 no. You must stay and have tea. You've brought the fine weather with you, Madeline.
Yes.
You always do. Come on into the sitting room. I think the tea's ready waiting for us. Oh, Florence hasn't brought the cakes yet, but the tea's here, and the sandwiches. I hope you all like potted meat.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I love it, but I do have another...
Sit down, all of you. Madeline, will you sit here? And Chatford over there, and Denny there. Madeline, how do you like tea? Was that too strong for you?
Don't you remember?
I'm afraid I don't.
Just the merest flavouring?
I'll put some hot water with it. Chatford, you. Strong?
Strong as you like.
Good man. Denny, you. Strong too? Or weak, like Madeline?
I don't mind as it comes.
As it comes. I'm taking you at your word, Denny. Here you are, Madeline. Milk?
Please.
And sugar?
No.
Oh, no, of course not. I remember. No sugar. Ah, here are the cakes.
Ooh.
Thank you, Florence. Now, it was always the rule in my mother's house when I was a boy, bread and butter before cake. Sandwiches count as bread and butter.
Then I shall have to have one.
Allow me to pass you one, Madeline.
Thank you.
And Chatford?
Thank you.
Ah.
Don't I get one?
Oh, I'm so sorry, Denny. Completely forgotten about you.
Well, that's normal. I'm getting used to it.
Denny, you're not to say things like that in front of Dr. Bickley.
Why not?
Well, he might think that
we
aren't...
He can think what he likes. He's been married too, hasn't he?
Denny.
Sorry, I didn't mean it.
I should hope not.
It was only a not very good joke.
Have a sandwich.
I don't want a sandwich. I'll have some cake.
Just as you like, just as you like.
You're very silly, Denny. These sandwiches are really delicious.
Mm. Very good indeed. So glad you liked them.
More toast, sir.
Thank you, Florence.
Have you heard the news about Mrs. Bourne, sir?
No, what?
Took very bad in the night, they say. Had to have Dr. Lidston out from Merchester and all.
Dear me. I hope it isn't anything serious.
According to what they say, sir, it's about as serious as it could be.
How dreadful. I wonder if it could have been... I was taken quite ill myself in the night.
Oh, dear, sir.
Well, nothing serious, but... I think you'd best take this bacon away, Florence. I don't really feel up to it. I'll just have some dry toast and some coffee. Oh, well. What a curious coincidence.
Oh, sir, you don't think it could have been the potted meat, do you, sir?
Hello, is that Mr. Chatford's house?
Yes, sir.
Dr. Bickley here of Wyvern's Cross. Could I speak to Mr. Chatford, please?
I'm afraid Mr. Chatford is ill, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I hope it's nothing serious.
Dr. Lidston thinks not, sir.
Oh, Lidston's looking after him, is he? Good. Well, would you give him my kind regards and say I hope he'll be feeling better soon?
Sir.
Goodbye. Oh, well, so far so good.
Good evening, sir. Dr. Bickley?
Yes?
You don't know me. Chief Inspector Russell, Scotland Yard. Do you mind if I come in?
Oh, of course, Chief Inspector. come along to my consulting room. Do sit down.
Thank you, sir.
Cigarette?
Thank you, no, sir.
Now, what did you want to see me about? Oh, no trouble among any of my patients, I hope.
Oh, no, sir, nothing like that. Rather more personal, I'm afraid.
Personal?
Well, you know, sir, we have to look into these rumours just as a matter of form. I'm really sorry to have to bother you with it.
What rumours?
Well, it's unpleasant for you and unpleasant for me, too, having to rake it all up. But I'm sure you'll see that.
Of course. But really, it's too preposterous, you know. I won't pretend that I'm not aware that there have been the most dreadful rumours about my poor wife. De mortuis nil nisi bonum doesn't hold good in villages like Wyvern's Cross, eh?
No, sir, probably not. I've no doubt it's all a mare's nest, sir, but there you are.
I mean, my poor wife is dead now. Whether her death was accidental or whether she deliberately took her own life, what does it matter? No amount of investigation is going to bring her back.
Very true, sir. But if you'll just let me put my questions simply as a matter of form.
Certainly, Chief Inspector. Oh, but talking's dry work. Can I get you a whiskey?
Not when I'm working, sir. Thank you all the same.
Perhaps later, then?
Yes, perhaps.
I think I will.
Now then, as a matter of form, would you mind telling me the details of your wife's illness?
Well, it all started with her having severe headaches. That was, a year or so before her death?
A year or so?
Yes, a year or more it must have been. I started off by giving her small doses of morphine.
So Mrs. Chatford, Miss Ridgeworth was, saw you shortly after leaving your house on the afternoon of your wife's death.
That's right. At about 2:30 or so. Uh-huh. I'd hardly got round the corner when I had trouble with my car. The engine conked out. I had to stand there quite a time swinging the handle. And while I was there, Miss Ridgeway came along.
Ah.
Fortunately, the car started again. I wasn't much late with my visits.
I see. Well, thank you, Doctor.
There's something else you wanted to ask me?
That is something else it's my duty to ask you. I don't know if you've heard about it, but there's an idea going round that your poor lady's death wasn't due to morphia at all.
I don't understand.
Well, the suggestion is that it was due to arsenic covered by a dose of
arsenic?
Morphia.
Nonsense.
Oh, there isn't any white arsenic in your surgery or elsewhere to which your wife could have had access.
Certainly not. The idea's ludicrous.
So I fancied, sir. Well, I'm sorry to have troubled you.
Arsenic. I'm such a painful death. The wife of any medical man would know that. You'd better see Dr. Lidston in Merchester. I called
Dr.
him in
Lidston.
Straight away. He'll tell you that death was consistent with morphine poisoning and nothing else. Certainly not arsenic.
Right. Well, that really is that. And, I'll have that drink now, sir, if I may.
Of course. I think we've earned one.
Oh, that's enough. Can't have a chief inspector drunk on duty.
You're off duty now.
Well, here's to silencing the rumours.
Yes, to it.
And may they not trouble you anymore.
Of course. I know their source.
Sir?
Oh, yes, I know where they come from. A man named Chatford in Merchester, a solicitor. He has a grudge against me. And he started the rumours to try and do me a bad turn.
Is that so, sir?
Do you think I should take steps against him for libel?
Well, in the first place, sir, why has he got this grudge?
Confidentially.
Of course.
He married a girl, and later found out that she'd been my mistress.
Your mistress?
Yeah.
Before our marriage or since?
Well, I can trust you.
Of course.
Both.
Ah. Well, Doctor, if you take my advice, you'll do nothing for the time being. You don't want to drag the girl into the witness box to admit adultery, which is what it would lead to.
Mm.
If you're right in thinking these rumours to come from him, well, I can tell you now he's had the matter taken up officially and an inquiry made, which is what it seems he wanted, and I don't really see what more he can do about it.
Thank you, Chief Inspector. I'm most grateful. We doctors have to be like Caesar's wife, you know. Other people can enjoy themselves occasionally and nobody thinks the worse of them for it. But doctor... Gracious me, no.
Well, I would say I'm not in the same position myself, rather, but if one likes the ladies well enough, one can always find some way. Well, I mustn't keep you any longer. Thank you very much for the drink. I don't suppose I'll be seeing you again, but Well, you understand, I had to do my duty.
Yes, of course, perfectly. Are you sure there's nothing more I can do for you?
Well, since you're so good as to make the offer...
Now, what is it?
I would like it if I could have a look over the house. It would help me for when I write my report.
Certainly, certainly. And you must visit my hobby room, too, in the attic, where I carry out my little scientific experiments.
That sounds interesting, sir.
Oh, it's very interesting. Here, let me go first.
If only you knew just how interesting, Chief Inspector.
Hello, Bickley.
Hello, Denny. I called to see the invalid.
You can't, I'm afraid. She won't see you.
Oh. Now, the fact is, I had rather bad tummy trouble myself, the same night that she did. I cured it with jalap and cream of tartar, an old-fashioned remedy, but a good one. And I thought it might do the same for her, so I made up a pill.
Good of you, but she refuses to see you. She told me that. When she tells me something, believe me, that's that.
I see. You're feeling quite well.
Perfectly.
Looking rather pale, I thought. Not the usual bright Denny we all know.
Shut up, Bickley. And there's no point hanging about. She won't see you.
Oh. In that case...
Goodbye.
Oh, has Madeline done anything about the drains, by the way?
No, as if it's any business of yours.
I've told her often enough. They're positively dangerous. Bad sanitation can lead to typhoid.
I'll pass on your message. Goodbye, Bickley.
You wouldn't like me to leave this pill with you. Perhaps you could get her to take it.
Thanks, but any help she needs, she'll get from Dr. Lidston.
Come in, Bickley. I was expecting you.
Oh, were you? Why?
I understood you referred him to me.
Oh, yes, the Chief Inspector.
That's right.
Yes, I did, but that isn't what I've come about now, Lidston. I hear Chatford's been taken ill.
Chatford? Ah, yes.
How bad is he? You're his doctor, aren't you?
Well, to be frank, he's in a pretty bad way.
Dangerous?
Decidedly dangerous, I should say. Why?
Well, I'm worried. You know, he came to tea with me the other day. The Bourne's were there, too. Four of us. Well, three out of the four of us were taken ill in the night.
Bourne wasn't taken ill.
No, he was the only one who wasn't.
Ah, you were then?
Yes, I was, quite violently. Fortunately, I managed to eliminate most of the poison. The next day...
You think you were poisoned?
Well, surely. It's pretty obvious, isn't it?
And what do you imagine was the nature of this poison?
Some food poison, I suppose. That's what I wanted to see you about. I'd very much like to have a look at Chatford out of sheer professional interest. Quite apart from the personal angle. Do you think you could...
Could what?
Take me with you next time you go to see him?
It's somewhat irregular, isn't it?
Oh, Chatford won't mind.
No, Bickley, I'm sorry.
Oh. Very well. Not very old-fashioned in matters of etiquette for one so young. Are your methods as antique?
Oblige me by explaining what you mean by that.
Well, what have his symptoms been?
What one would expect. Tongue furred, abdominal pains, cramps in the lower limbs, vomiting, diarrhoea.
Pronounced?
Well, perhaps not as pronounced as one might have expected, no.
Any paralytic symptoms?
I don't think so. Well, possibly. I haven't particularly noticed.
Have the pupils been dilated?
Yes, I think they have.
And what was your diagnosis, then?
Acute gastroenteritis.
Now, I don't agree with you, Lidston. No, from what you've told me and from what I saw of my own symptoms, I should say it was a clear case of botulism.
Botulism?
I'm pretty certain where the infection came from, too. We had potted meat sandwiches for tea.
Dear, dear, botulism. That never occurred to me.
Ah, that's where I had the advantage. I had a case recently. That one proved fatal, unfortunately. But it gave me the experience.
Well, what do you advise, then?
A full dose of jalap and cream of tartar, as soon as possible. The sooner the better. Hmm. I suggest we go and see Chatford straight away and give it to him. Luckily, I brought one with me.
Oh, did you?
Well, I was pretty well certain, you see, and I judged the speed would be advisable, so I made one up. Now, I don't want to hurry you.
I have not yet agreed with your diagnosis.
What?
I will willingly keep the pill in case I come to agree with it.
Well, I don't willingly give it to you.
You don't?
Either I am called into consultation or I am not.
Very well. You are not.
I see. In that case, I think we have nothing more to say to each other. Goodbye.
Get me Scotland Yard, will you?
Here I am,
Florence?
And not before time. Tea's all ready for you.
Thank you.
All this to-in and fro-in, you must be worn out.
On the contrary, I feel quite remarkably fresh.
While you were out, the man came about the cistern, sir.
Cistern? What cistern?
Our cistern, sir. He said you knew about it. The cistern in the attic.
The attic?
That's right, sir. They took something away with them too, sir. They said it will be all right.
Oh, my God.
I hope I haven't done anything wrong, sir.
No, no, you haven't.
Shall I answer the door then, sir?
Yes, yes, I suppose you'd better. I told them I made up a culture purely and simply to see if there were any bacilli in the potted meat we ate.
Yes, yes.
I mean, as soon as I heard of the symptoms affecting Mr. Chatford and Mrs. Bourne, I diagnosed an attack of botulism. Young Sanford died of it, you know. I had experience of the disease.
My dear Bickley, I do understand.
Having bought an incubator a few months ago, this seemed an ideal opportunity to experiment.
Yes, yes, yes.
And now, to be charged with attempted murder. It's ridiculous.
Oh, you needn't worry about that, Bickley. As your solicitor, I assure you they won't press that charge. I know they couldn't get a conviction. Linston was just following a very stupid hunch. Well, they've no real evidence at all.
I should think not, indeed.
They have a prima facie case, no doubt. We'll have to get out our answer to it. But, of course, they only made the arrest to free their hands for this other investigation. Now, that's what we've got to concentrate on.
It's outrageous. It's simply outrageous. To lose a wife isn't bad enough.
Yes, but... yes. Well, I agree with you. But the moment they got that order from the Home Secretary to do it...
To do what?
Well, my dear fellow, they exhumed your wife.
They did what?
Edmund Alfred Bickley, I have to inform you that you are charged with murdering Julia Elizabeth Mary Bickley at Wyvern's Cross on the 5th of June, 1928.
In part three of Malice Aforethought by Francis Isles, dramatized by Philip Mackey, Paul Eddington was Dr. Bickley, and Kim Braden, Madeline. Denny Bourne was played by Stephen Pacey, Ivy by Madeline Smith, Chief Inspector Russell by Leslie Heritage, and Chatford by Clifford Norgate. Lidston was Hayden Wood, the Vicar, Roger Hammond, Florence, Christine Absalom, Deverell, Alan Dudley, Gunhill, Alexander John, and Mrs. Holm, Sonia Fraser. Sound Balance was by Keith Perrin, assisted by Alison Taylor and Andrew Kurofsky. Malice Aforethought was a BBC World Service production, adapted and directed by Gordon House.